A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 12 November 2024, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at chapter 3, volume 4, a parable. We are on page 655. Okay, as usual, let us gather and we will have our physical puja. Let's compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sinh Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sinh Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sinh Phu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Phu. Namo Ami Tho Phu. Namo Ami Tho Phu. Namo Mi La Phu. Namo Mi La Phu. Namo Mi La Phu. Namo Yao Si Phu. Namo Yao Si Phu. Namo Yao Si Phu. Namo Bhūṣaṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Bhūṣaṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Bhūṣaṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Dīcāṁ Vāṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Dīcāṁ Vāṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Dīcāṁ Vāṁ Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Phō Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Phō Bhūṣaṁ. Namo Phō Bhūṣaṁ. Arahaṁ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṁ Bhagavantaṁ Abhivādhimi. Suvakkato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṁ Namassāmi. Suppatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Sanghaṁ Namāmi. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa. Buddhaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Dhammaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Sanghaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṁ Saraṇaṁ Gacchāmi. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadaṁ Samādhiyāmi. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadaṁ Samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu Micchācāra Viramani Sikkhapadaṁ Samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā Viramani Sikkhapadaṁ Samādhiyāmi. Surāmirāya Macchāpamādhatthāna Viramani Sikkhapadaṁ Samādhiyāmi. Okay, you can be seated. And to page 3 of the chanting book, we will continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang पूजयामि तमोनुदं गन्धसंबरयुतेन दुःखेन सुदाहिन पूजये पूजनीयं तं पूजावचनमुत्तमम् वर्णगन्धगुणोपेतकुसुमसन्ततिं पूजयामि मुनिदास श्रीपादसरोरुहे पूजेमि बुधं कुसुमेन पुण्येन मैतेन च होतु मोक्षं उपमिलायति यदा इदं मे कायो तथायति विनाशभावः आदिवासे तु नो पन्ते पानीयं परिकापितम् अनुकम्पाम् उपादाय प्रातिकं हातुमुत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो बन्ते पाले परिकापितम् अनुकम्पाम् उपादाय प्रातिकं हातुमुत्तमम् आदिवासे तु नो बन्ते पूजनं परिकापितम् अनुकम्पाम् उपादाय Now we shall chant our puja aspirations. Based on our understanding of the significance of these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dharma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma. So that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body. So that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspirations. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become bars or powers, then sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. To receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Dham Pujami. Dham Pujami. Sangham Pujami. Okay, you all can be seated. So just relax body and mind, then maintain some of attention. As usual, we will off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. This awareness-based meditation is slightly different from normal meditation. Here, our intent and focus is to develop the inner awareness, or some Buddhists call it mindfulness or sati within. So as the word goes, awareness based means sati based, mindfulness based type of meditation. So there are four support that is very conducive for you to develop the awareness within. So the most important aspect of meditation is to be aware. When you are able to be in the state of sati, awareness, without thought, you can meditate. And yes, without sati leading to your mind that has the ability to be in that tranquil state, which is without thought. It is just with the nature away. Without that state, that mind, you cannot meditate. That's why in the teaching, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never dies. The heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. When you are not heedful means you are not mindful. And you cannot make use of that mind state to be in a state of meditative training. That's why under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, the first three of the Appamadavaga, the Dhammapada verses on heedfulness. The first one we have gone through, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. So to be in the state of heedfulness is very important. Otherwise, you become heedless, you are as if dead. So what is heedfulness? Dhammapada verse 23 define what heedfulness is. The Buddha said, the constantly meditative and ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana, in the here and the now. So which means the first two characteristics of ever mindful, constantly meditative. These two, when you combine, you become heedful. So to develop the mind so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful, we need to start off with the training of the mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then when you have that mind, only the meditation take off. That's why constantly meditative, ever mindful. When you cannot be ever mindful, you cannot be constantly meditative. So that is the reason why we need to develop the stability of sati or mindfulness. So the four support are, as I have always said, the first two are very easy. Just relax. Make yourself fully relaxed, completely at ease, body and mind relax. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed. When you are relaxed and at ease, there is no thought, nothing. You feel good. Then the second support is very important. Maintain awareness. Means that mind that is aware is your true mind. Maintain that state, which means whatever happened to you within the sixth sense door, whatever you come into contact with, whether through your seeing consciousness or hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought consciousness, you just maintain awareness. Away. Finish. Don't let it continue or proliferate. So these first two support is very important. Relax, maintain awareness. Then in between, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just let the mind quiet down. Just away. Whatever happened, away. Finish. Away. Finish. Continue to train this way until it stabilizes. So the third support is stabilize this state or mindfulness or awareness nature within, so that your mind is completely quiet, still, and without thought. Then after that, this mind that is trained in sati will stabilize and develop into a very peaceful, tranquil, and still mind. This is your true mind, your silent mind. This is the mind that is in the state of ever mindful. You not only train the mind to be mindful or aware, but you stabilize it until it's ever mindful. Then you just relax and stay in that state. Then whatever arises from there, you will understand. This mind is capable of meditative awakening because it can see things as they are within that silence. It can insight into phenomena to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. It can also develop what they call awakening. So a mind that is tranquil, still, and just aware is capable of understanding, capable of awakening. It can insight into phenomena. It can see things as they are. It can develop all the understanding and the wisdom. So remember these three support. Train yourself until the mind becomes very quiet and very still. Then stay in the heart area, silent everything. And let that awareness detect whatever vibration or movement within the heart area. It can be your heartbeat or whatever. The moment the awareness is with it, stay with it. The awareness and the vibration or the heartbeat will move as one. Then don't try to direct the mind, the thought. Just silence everything and let the nature move by itself and activate the meditative movement on its own. That is the fourth support. Means you trust your nature to move. You just silence everything and stay at the heart area. Let it move on its own. So develop this four support. Initially, if you have not developed the first three, focus on training your mind to be aware and ever mindful first, then only move on to the fourth support. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I will ring the bell. Upon hearing the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. And now we'll continue our what they call salutation to the Triple Gem by chanting the Devarana, means invocation to the Devas. Well, this is on page 6 of the chanting book. You have the chanting book, you turn the page 6, then you will find the chanting. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawa Lesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhamma Sumanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sumanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Sumanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagavan abhyam samma sambuddho Vijjacharana sampanno sukhato lokkhavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva mano sangam Do Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Namo Sanditiko Kaliko Ehivaseko Opanayiko Pajatam Veditato Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sahijipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato saukha sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaram punyam ketam lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so now you can relax and maintain some power and awareness. Then we will start our class. We will continue from where we stop. Okay, we will read from there. When bodhisattvas teach living beings, they will do whatever it takes and address every detail. So this is how meticulous it can be. They are more concerned for living beings than even parents are for their own children. So this one is for those who actually wants to fulfill their bodhisattva vow. So they will do it with sincerity, faith, and understanding. So here they say, according to the sutta, bodhisattva practice the bodhisattva way or bodhisattva path or training, cultivating the four methods of attraction, or what we call very important skillful means or approach, so that they can transmit the teaching to get all living beings to develop the enlightenment. Then it is said that in this way, they can attain the four kinds of spiritual skills, called the spiritual skills of the four methods of attraction, or four way of attracting the cultivator of the way or living beings to develop the cultivation. And these four are, they call, the first one is giving, followed by the use of kind, compassionate words. Then the third one is their beneficial deeds and the adoption of the same aim, means to bring about joy to living beings. Living beings may clearly have fault, but the bodhisattva still want to save them. They forgive them and overlook their fault, hoping that in the future, these living beings will reform and start anew. They think these beings won't stay confused or muddled forever, means they will not be deluded forever. Let's wait a bit. Bodhisattva do not see the fault that living beings have. No matter what kind of mistake living beings make, bodhisattvas are forgiving and compassionate and do not blame them. So these are the four ways or methods of attraction that can allow them to accomplish their task. So cultivating these four ways of attraction enables one to attain the four kinds of spiritual skill, to teach and influence living beings, namely the spiritual skill of giving. So this giving is very important. So when you can have the spiritual skill of giving, that can make you different. So cultivating the four ways of attraction enable one to attain four kinds of spiritual skill, to teach and influence living beings, namely the spiritual skill of living, giving, kind words, beneficial deeds, and adoption of the same aims. It is not that one just does this four thing, but one carries them out with spiritual power, understanding that miraculously allow one to secretly teach and influence living beings. Sometimes living beings have fault, and without their knowing, quite how they correct their fault. They do not know that the bodhisattvas have secretly influenced them to reform themselves. Some living beings cannot be influenced, but the bodhisattva does not give up on them, still hoping that they will change in the future. Therefore, the four ways or method of attracting living beings are infinitely wonderful. So teaching living beings for those who have gone through, they will know. The most difficult to teach are those living beings that are normally deluded. And because they are deluded, they are full of wrong views, sometimes very arrogant, very deluded. And some, they hold on to their views tenaciously. And these are the people who are most difficult to not only teach, sometimes to approach them also not easy because of their delusion, their arrogance, and their lack of affinity with the Triple Gem. So teaching living beings to come to the way is not easy. So what happened is, normally, the teaching is being taught in such a way that you must develop affinity with the Triple Gem first. And when there is affinity, the time will come for you to come into contact with the teachings. Then the basic important way to develop strong affinity will also be taught. So it is through all these skillful means, skillful ways of approaching living beings that the teaching can be actually developed and expanded so that it can reach more and more living beings. And usually what Bodhisattva understand is you must let things be. You cannot try to be like too eager to teach and too eager to change or transform living being. Because being living beings, they are just the way they are. In the sense that if they don't go through suffering, if they don't get themselves into big trouble, they will never listen. They will never like wake up. Because I think a good example is like how to raise up the kids or the children. You pamper them and you're like too eager to like teach them or bring them out via all your various way to like provide them with the love and all those things. But normally you don't have that wisdom and the understanding. You cannot do it. And this kid, they will climb over your head. They will cry, they throw tantrum, or they will do all the funny thing, except listening to you. So sometimes living beings, they are so different in the way their karmic process is from the past. Where everyone is different. Everyone has his unique way of doing things and understanding things and liking things or disliking things. So not everyone is the same. So to approach it, you need to have the wisdom and the understanding and the patience to attract them and to lure them. But you cannot pamper them, otherwise they will get themselves entangled and become difficult to teach or deal with. So normally, for those who understand the approach is, there must be affinity. Without affinity, nothing happens. And what basically is affinity? Affinity is basically your karmic inheritance. You must have good karmic conditioning to receive affinity, strong affinity with Triple Gem, especially with Kalyanamitas, so that you can develop the basic understanding of how to avoid evil, avoiding the foolish and the heedless. Then you must make aspiration to meet up with the wise and enlightened one, so that you can have true kayamitas to benefit you in your cultivation. That's why kayamita shiva is 100% of the holy life, as always emphasized and taught by the Buddha. Even Sakyamuni Buddha told Ananda the same. At first, Ananda thought kayamita is very important. So kayamita shiva is at least 50% of the holy life. The Buddha reprimanded him and said, no, Ananda is 100% of the holy life. That's why without kayamita, you cannot develop enlightenment. So kayamita is a prerequisite for awakening or enlightenment. That's why the first step of the Avijja Sutta is to have kayamitas, means to have true, sincere Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends who walk the path of Dhamma, and Dhamma friends who are sincere, who have the faith to cultivate diligently and sincerely to awaken. And they are very friendly. They are very caring, very understanding. And they are there to counsel, motivate, encourage, and share all the understanding and benefits, so that they can bring forth the real kayamita shiva. They not only counsel each other, they also develop the way to express the understanding, so that it can bring forth what they call confidence, or what they call faith in the kayamitas, so that all can walk the path of Dhamma successfully, sincerely, through understanding. So all these are the way. But here in the sutta is mentioned as the four methodology or spiritual attributes of Bodhisattva. You must have this form, but ultimately is your ability to transform and take them across. So these four actually come from one, that understanding behind. When you have the understanding, these four spiritual attributes that you nurture or develop can help you bring forth the understanding to help you do the work successfully. Okay, we go back. Okay, so I'll read on. Therefore, the four ways of attraction are ineffably wonderful. We are all living beings. When we reflect on how we benefit from the compassion and protection of the Bodhisattvas, we should be grateful and tearfully repent, thinking, I have been so ignorant. The Bodhisattva treated me so well, yet I have no clue. So this one normally happened to cultivator or living beings, who after going through the process came to realize, don't move away, stay at that page, Arjuna, sorry, I need to make use of all this. You see, when you develop the cultivation, normally we don't really have a clear understanding of what this cultivation is. And sometimes because our arrogance, We may have certain views and opinion of what the teaching is, then sometimes certain kind of understanding that are very important is not in us. I still remember in the early days, I think when I came to the university, 1975, the first time I went to the Brickfield Temple, I wanted to start developing the understanding of the teaching. Then what happened was, I flicked through some of the Buddhist book that was given, the leaflet, free distribution, and Buddhist book. Then there was one sentence, which was, I think, quite clearly intended well, for people to like have the understanding. It says living beings are all deluded, full of ignorance. So the first thing that struck me was, because during my time in the 70s, to actually do well in your education, to do well in your form 5, then able to continue to form 6, and do very well, you have to be like the cream of your own school or your state before you can really enter University Malaya to do the professional course that you want to. So these are very, what I should say, very difficult to achieve academically. Only the handful, the cream, like our engineering course is only total 210 out of the whole country. Then medical is worse, to do well and have a place in the medical faculty is only 100 plus whole nation. So at that time, professional course were not easy. So that statement that most living beings are ignorant and deluded actually had a very strong impact on me. I said, how can we undergraduate or be able to do so well in our education and all those things, and yet we have gone through all this and came all the way to establish ourselves, to be in the uni doing the professional engineering course that we love to. And yet it was mentioned that we are deluded. Most of us are deluded and full of ignorance. That has an impact on me. So initially, I don't know why then they asked me to bow and pay respect. I can only bow to the Buddha and the four great beings. The deities all I cannot. So that was the thing that actually I can recall. But then as I learned the teaching, then I realized what the Buddha meant was very profound. Because before you are enlightened, you are really deluded. You're really ignorant. And that word is not as like understated meaning of the word. Its meaning is really pointing towards that direction. Then I came to realize a very profound understanding, because I think a few months after that, I suddenly realized actually living beings are full of delusion, ignorance. Yes, you really cannot develop the profound understanding of what this teaching is. Then I realized every thought of mine, every intent of mine is really egoic, full of ignorance. When I saw that, I got a shock of my life. Whatever I want to do, whatever I want to achieve, there is a very strong actor within. And that sound, the utter, sakadidi, that is the root of the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. When I saw that, I have a shock. No wonder the Buddha was so wise, I say. Is it all living being before you are enlightened? You are really deluded, ignorant. Ignorant of the truth, the way things are. Ignorant of the deluded thinking, the delusion that entangle ourselves into sakkayadity. So this delusion and entanglement is a very powerful entanglement, and this is what the evil root of moha is, sakkayadity, self-delusion. And from there, the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion manifest. And that's how I realize how beautiful and how profound the teaching is. That's why from then onward, I look at things differently. What struck me was the Four Noble Truths. The moment I read about it in the first edition of the What Buddhists Believe, book written by the late Chief Reverend K. Sridharananda, really awakened me. Because the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I said, hey, this must be the real one. No one in this universe, I said, even me included. Even after, let's say, I awakened, I can't summarize all my understanding into just this Four Noble Truths. Because I realized at that time, the Four Noble Truths is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the secret of life. Everything that you need to understand about the life, mundane and super mundane, they are all there. Just Four Noble Truths. And these are not ordinary truths, or what we call ultimate truth, but these are noble truths, truths that can awaken the living being and make you noble ones. That's why they are called noble truths. That's how all this started, and my understanding transformed, and my cultivation moved. And then here's introducing the teaching of this sutta, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, Miao Hua Lianhua Jing, is to let living being have the understanding of how bodhisattva really teach, how they accomplish themselves with all this understanding and teach. So now I move on to the next part of the sutta. Every cup is furnished with elegant laid mat. Layer upon layers of beautiful mats are spread out in each cup. The layered mat represent the cultivation of all kinds of samadhi or dhyana. If you cultivate contemplative wisdom or prajna every day, you will have some accomplishment over time. The mat are layered and soft. This symbolizes the light and serene feeling you experience while sitting in Zazen. So this ability to sit in Zazen means in a state of tranquility, stillness, and awareness to be with your true mind symbolizes your mind state, which is you feel very light. You feel very serene and tranquil, still. So in this light and serene state, your entire body is comfortable. That's why I like the elegant layer of mat. And you are calm, serene, and you experience an especially blissful feeling. So here, I think the commentary Here's the word. He said, especially blissful feeling. Actually, this bliss is actually sukham. Of course, you can experience it. You can experience it. But mind that is in that state will give rise to initially what we call piti, a spiritual calmness, a spiritual joy that you will experience. Then this piti, when you continue to relax and let it settle down, then you go through a phase where the consciousness shifts and you experience what we call sukham. So this sukham is blissful feeling. Then after you pass through sukham, you will experience tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. That one is your true mind. You will realize your true awareness nature. Well, read on, eh? This state arises again and again. This is true. The piti and sukham, they arise again and again, with hardly any interruption. When walking, you feel as if you are as brisk as the wind. You are not actually walking swiftly. Instead, you move without seeming to take a stride forward, as if the wind is blowing you onward, it is said. So that type of feeling, when you are really mindful, aware, you are like very graceful, like everything flow. And when you are in that state, you are like without resistance. Everything is like in a state of continuous relaxed awareness. There is a flow that you cannot really understand until you go through that phase or that stage of cultivation. Throughout the day, you are like mindful, aware, and you are very graceful. It's like effortless. Everything flow. And here it is said, Xianhua, I think, must have described it. The gentle breeze passes by, making no wave on the water. You do not feel like you are walking. You walk, sit, stand, and recline, or lie down without knowing. So, this side is the description, because it's like a flow. It's like everything is in harmony. Like everything is in sati. Your seeing is in sati. Hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, and your activity and movement, everything is in sati. Then sati with clear comprehension. That's why they call it sati sampajana, which means you have reached a state without the notion of people and without the notion of self. This is very true. It is like that nature is one with everything, and it's like you are nothing, you are nobody, nothing inside that. You have to be in that state to develop that understanding. So here, as Xianhua said, the state is represented by furnished with elegant laid mat, so as described by the sutta. You must cultivate in order to realize this state. Very true. As I said, you must cultivate and realize that state. Then only you can understand. Otherwise, it's all words. The description of it, not easy to comprehend. Once you apply effort in your cultivation, you will realize the wonders of it. Otherwise, you will not know it. You cannot understand it. So here, the effort is not the normal effort. Here is the spiritual zeal, the spiritual tenacity to really cultivate. And Shanoa say, I am just describing it here. To truly experience its flavor, you must taste it for yourself, which is very true. Yeah. To know what the real sweetness of sweet is, you must taste that sweetness. Yeah. That's why without tasting what that thing is, what people describe to you is just word. Very difficult to comprehend. Each cup has laid mat, then the sutta at and red cushion. So red cushion are array inside each cup. Red symbolizes rosy light, which represent the Dhamma, free of discrimination. There are interior cushion and exterior cushion. The interior cushion are used inside the cards. The exterior cushion are used to support a card. When the card is stopped and unhitched. Oh, sorry. I read again. The exterior cushion are used to support a card when the card is stopped and unhitched. Okay. Otherwise, the shaft at the front of the card would touch the ground. So the exterior cushion are an analogy of the state where movement does not obstruct stillness and stillness does not obstruct movement as one applies effort in cultivation. So this is the expression that Shenhua used. I think he liked to express it this way. So the analogy for the state where movement does not obstruct stillness and stillness does not obstruct movement. So this one is just developing the wisdom and understanding that there is complete harmony. Understand? When there is harmony, there is no obstruction. There is no resistance. There is nothing to actually interfere. So stillness, as we all know, they are the opposite of movement. To have movement means there is no stillness, but the two is not in conflict. Yeah. It's just like we understand in the midst of silence. There can be stillness, or in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Yeah. So all these are just how you understand it, the wisdom behind. When you understand, then movement is just stillness, and stillness is just movement. They are one. For example, a car is in motion when moving and becomes stationary when it stops. Of course, that movement has its momentum. And to stop that movement, you need to, for our case, the analogy of a car or motorbike or a bicycle, or even when you are jogging, you need to slow down. Yeah. So if you suddenly brake abruptly or stop immediately, then there is no what they call smooth transition from movement to stillness or to the stationary posture. So this one shows the lack of harmony. But when you can brake gracefully or you can slow down gracefully, means all this movement and activity, they are actually one complete package. So understanding makes the difference. So without understanding, all these things may look like not easy to understand. So movement is just stillness, and stillness is just movement. They are one. It's the analogy that evolve around understanding or wisdom. So the analogy that Xianhua has given is, regardless of whether it is stationary or moving, it is still the same card, understand? The one that moves the card, that is the one that must have the skill, the wisdom, and the understanding. So here, he said, Xianhua said, similarly in our cultivation, we are still the same person, whether we are moving or still. That is what the exterior cushion represents. There are also cushions within each card. The interior cushions are used to support people's body when they lie down to rest. They allow the body and mind to rest. Resting the body and mind is an analogy for samadhi, of perfect unity of body and mind in all activity. In this samadhi, one's true prajna wisdom come from. Yeah. So this one brings about the understanding of meditation, even when we are traveling, yeah? Especially when you are on a bus or a vehicle or a train, then the bus is going on a winding road, yeah? Maybe uphill or downhill, then it will break, it will turn, it will sway. Then all these other movement that you encounter. That's why people who are not skillful and have the understanding, they tend to develop unnecessary car sickness, where they actually felt so badly affected that they vomit, and they find it so difficult to endure. So what you should do is, the mind that is in the meditative state is in a state of relaxed and perfect harmony. So whatever the movement or what, there is no resistance, you accord and flow. Yeah. Then when you accord and flow, you realize most of the time your bodily fluid is not in conflict with the motion of the vehicle. So when you accord and flow, there is no conflict. That's why you can avoid the unnecessary morning car sick or whatever. Because the liquid within your body, they actually flow in harmony. So samadhi is to accord and flow. And the mind that has samadhi is collected and unwavering, but it's a free mind. So the free mind that is not affected, that is the real samadhi. Not the mind that is in concentration or conditioned state. That is a different thing. That one is, we call samatha. Yeah. It's not samadhi. Yeah. Means a conditioned state, energy field, held together by a conditioned state of mind, not a free mind. So the real samadhi is a free mind without thought. A free mind that is still, collected, unwavering, and still. There is no movement at all. Yeah. Free mind that is without thought is not easy to realize. It's not easy to achieve unless you have trained yourself to develop the awareness within, to develop the understanding that that mind is not the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind. That mind is the primordial, tranquil, and still nature, that pure awareness nature. And to be with that nature is not easy. But that nature is actually the true nature or original nature of all living beings. We are born with that nature, but then we fall and stir because we create movement and activity and get entangled with external. That's how you lost your ability to be in that state of natural relaxed awareness. So the true samadhi, unless you have wisdom, you cannot develop it. Okay, I read on the next part of the sutta. Each cut is yoked to a white ox. The white ox is hitched to the cart. The white ox represents people who have ended all outflow, means arahant and beyond. I explained the wisdom free of outflow before, Shenhua said. The realization of the prajna wisdom free of outflow is what is meant by beings yoked to the white ox. It is not easy to be free of outflow. All of our bad habits and fault are called outflow, or what we call anusaya, asamak. Of course, the gross one is the kilesa. There are three Pali words to actually describe them. All of our thoughts of desire that has craving are also outflow. Why hasn't we become Buddhas? It is because we have outflow. Why haven't we became or become awakened? It is because we have outflow. Why are our bad habits so strong? That's why we call it habitual tendency. It is because we have outflow. Asma or anusaya, latent tendency. Why do we have strong desire or craving? It is because we have all this outflow. Only when we are free of outflow will we be liberated. When you have realized the wisdom free of outflow, if you cultivate the Four Noble Truths, you will perfect the practice. That's why this Four Noble Truths is very important. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. In the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the first sermon that the Buddha Sakyamuni delivered after his enlightenment, he mentioned in this sutta, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, that even he himself as a bodhisattva at that time, if he had not realized the Four Noble Truths in his three turning, he does not proclaim to be the enlightened one. There is still outflow. So this Four Noble Truths and these three turnings are very important teaching. Yeah, like I explained earlier on, if you really understand, it summarizes to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. Then you can understand life clearly. You can maintain the wisdom free of outflow by not acting based on erroneous knowledge or wrong view. Erroneous knowledge and view. If you cultivate the 12 links of Paticca-samuppada or the law of dependent origination, you will attain awakening. If you cultivate the 6 perfection parameters of giving, upholding precepts. So giving is dana parami, upholding precepts is sila parami. Then patience is kanti parami. Then virya is vigor, virya or spiritual zeal parami. Then dhyan is samadhi, the true samadhi parami. Then finally is wisdom. So these 6 is what the Bodhisattva of the Mahayana tradition they stick on to develop the cultivation. Finally, you will also arrive at the 10 perfection, which the Theravada tradition follow. Then it's mentioned, if you develop all this, the Sanghira way, the Pachekabuddha way, and the Bodhisattva way, you will arrive at the other shore. In general, you can wash over yourself. You will have no outflow. So what does it mean to be free of outflow? There is a Chinese saying, day after day, guard against fire. Day after day, guard against thee. You have to wash over your house and guard against fire. What fire is this? It's the fire of ignorance. When ignorance arises, you do not fear heaven. Earth, spirits and ghosts. That's why when people are with delusion or ignorance, they do not fear heaven, earth, spirit and ghosts or ghosts. You fear nothing at all. If an evil spirit or monster come, you will say, I will take him out or I'll take him on. Why do we act like that? It is because of the fire of ignorance that has lit it. So you must guard against fire of ignorance every day. Day after day, guard against thief. What thieves are these? These are the thieves within you, not those on the outside. It is said, move it out. It is said, you must guard against the fire of ignorance every day. Day after day, guard against thief. Oh, we are at this part. What thief are these? These are the thief. No, move it up. You haven't moved here. Okay. It is hard to defend yourself from the thief in your own household. In fact, these are all your wrong thoughts. You believe the thought and take the thought to be your friend. A thief from outside would not know where you hide your valuables. You have a thief within your household, however, he can steal all your treasure. Night after night, be on the lookout for thief. From night to night, you must guard yourself from the six thief, being the six sand dog. Your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, tactile, and mind. This thief can turn your mind upside down or inverted, then bow, and make you very afflicted. Isn't that pathetic? These six thieves steal all the Dhamma treasure from your inherent nature. So if you do not wash away yourself, you will have outflow. Once the outflow starts, they will keep you flowing and you will revert to being an ordinary Puttajana or normal living being. You can remain free of outflow. You will certainly realize Buddhahood. Outflow, however, are bad habits that we slip into very easily and quickly. If you are free of outflow, you are yoked to the white ox. If you still have outflow, you are not yoked to the white horse. Then Shenhua said, when I lecture on the Heart Sutta, I compose the verse. The great white ox cub rumbles as he rolls. The yellow-faced child thumps and thump. Your outflow stops, as if you are driving a cart hitch to the great white ox. The yellow-faced child represents your thoughts, which is jumping, thumping, and running everywhere non-stop. That's why sometimes they call it the monkey mind. However, once you are driving the great cart drawn by the white ox, you attain freedom from outflow. At that point, your mind may jump and thump and race, but you remain unaffected no matter what. Okay. This one is where you have the wisdom and the understanding. Yeah. White is the base of all color and absence of any tint or defilements. They represent the essential nature of the Dhamma, which is pristine and unpolluted, free of even a speck of dust. White corresponds to the wisdom free of outflow, which is also free of defilement. When there is defilement, you cannot attain the wisdom free of outflow. Actually, the correct interpretation should be when there is ignorance or delusion, and then there is defilement. Now then you cannot attain the wisdom free of outflow. That's why without wisdom, you cannot free, only wisdom free. The great card drawn from the white ox also represent the perfect realization of the four foundations of mindfulness. Mindfulness of kaya, mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of citta, and mindfulness of dhamma. So here the English translation is not so accurate. The second one is, they call it sense perception. It's not sense perception, it's vedana. Vedana nupassana and citta nupassana. Then here they use dhamma nupassana as phenomena. Not so accurate. It's dhamma, specific dhamma. The white ox further represent the four kinds of right effort as well as the four step of spiritual power. So these four steps of spiritual power, they are actually related to our four bases of success. Then the four kind of right effort are bring forth the latent good roots, nurture existing good roots, preventing latent evil, eradicating existing evil. Actually, this four right effort, they put the belly already. The first right effort is actually to abandon the what they call wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. They have a reason, which is the fourth, means to eradicate existing evil. It's not eradicate, it's the right effort to abandon the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, or the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. They have a reason. Then the second right effort is to arise the right effort to prevent the arising of the wrong thought. To do that, you must have wisdom too. Otherwise, it cannot stop. It will continue to arise. So initially is the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, a reason already. Then you have to use the five ways, especially the third and the fourth way, to abandon it. Then after that, when you develop the understanding, then you can have the mindfulness and the understanding, or what we call unisoma manasikara, to prevent it from arising. The wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. If you cannot do that, then you cannot cultivate the last two right effort. The last two right effort is to cultivate, or here they use the word nurture. Whatever wholesome thought, wholesome speech, and wholesome right action that is still not in you. Here they say nurturing existing good root, which is supposed to be the last of the four right effort. Because the third right effort is just the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then after that, the right effort to refine upon and perfect the right thought, right speech, and right action to bring about the perfection of cultivation and the practice. So this four effort, they are put in the wrong sequence. The Theravada tradition, they are more precise and more accurate. Okay, we move up. The first right effort is to bring forth good root. This one I explained already. I think we can just read through. Okay. The first right effort is to bring, this one should be the fourth, to bring forth the good roots that are dormant. Then the second right effort is to nurture the good root that is already, that have already come forth. So this one should be the third and fourth right effort instead. The example for the, I will use the word third right effort is that if you have never learned the Buddha Dhamma, you start to learn it. When you have already learned some Buddha Dhamma, you want to apply the second, the fourth right effort and advance your study. So here, Shen Hua gave the analogy using Dhamma. But in the four right effort, it's actually the right thought, right speech, and right action. And so the way we develop the Noble Eightfold Path factors, from right view, you arise the right thought, right speech, and right action. When you have already learned some Buddha Dhamma, you want to apply the next right effort and advance your study. So this one is done. It should not be that you study the Buddha Dhamma for 2.5 days, think you understand, and quit learning. You should continue to make progress in the Buddha Dhamma. Then the other right effort is to refrain from doing unwholesome deeds. So this one is the way Shen Hua described it. But the actual one is, after you have become aware or mindful that the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action has arisen, then the first right effort is to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, and the wrong action that has already arisen. Yeah. Then the second right effort is to eradicate the karma of past unwholesome deed. So all this is in the reverse order already, as I described. Then the next part is the white ox, as mentioned in the line. Oh, I think we have to stop already. 9:55 already. Okay, we mark this page. Then we stop here. Okay. Now we will continue our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by question and answer. Whatever question you may have, you can ask any question regarding the meditation or the teaching, and also how to apply this teaching so that it can help you understand life and live life, and overcome whatever suffering or problems that one may have. Then the last part that we can share is based on your experience that you have developed through your cultivation, the Dhamma in daily life that you can share with people so that it can help people develop understanding faster and give them faith. Okay, now we'll open up. Alicia, we got somebody volunteer.
This is still in all kind
of
I would like to share a bit on my weeks ago's meditation. On Tuesday, we went to the farm, so because there's some urgent issue. So, and then when we came back, we brought back a jackfruit. Actually, I thought, wow, today I'm going to class, so I just give the jackfruit away. But a second thought, why not I share with the Karamita and then, you know, bring some for puja as well.
Sadhu.
So after that, I'm quite like in a hurry to prepare dinner and then, you know, coming to class. But I did it like very mindfully and then, you know,
Sounded.
when I arrived in classes, I mean, so after the puja, as I lie down, there's a movement on my head.
Oh,
Okay,
okay.
like suddenly just drop a bit. Then my heart area on the upper left side, above my heart, it's like has a very tiny hole set opening. So it opens, opens, opens. And then after that, I'm like one with
Yeah,
the
oneness.
entire oneness nature. And then it was like a very amazing experience. But when that the whole experience lasted 1 whole hour, I mean,
Oh, sadhu.
in fact, after that when Brazil continued, when the bell ring, so when Brazil continued, I was still in very
Yeah,
deep
in that deep state, huh?
yes, but there's some part that Brazil sharing I can hear, but after that I can't hear
Yeah,
anything.
no need to know.
Yeah,
You
so
just stay at the heart there. Yeah.
so I was in when the one after that 9:30 when I came out, my whole body like how to say the tactile very slowly only come back, you know, everything. And then after that, I don't have I know it's a wonderful experience, but I don't have kind of like a lot of movement joy or
Yeah,
whatever.
no
It's
more. It's quiet,
yes,
still,
very
tranquil.
quiet. I mean, I don't really know what exactly, but I know it's like the oneness thing because we are one with the entire.
Correct,
Yeah,
the existence.
so when on Thursday, Brajo sharing, I suddenly come to understand like this Brajo always got a saying, we are part of the
Yeah,
nature.
part of
Yeah,
nature.
we are the like how to say, I also like all the Dhamma blah blah blah, like come to understand a lot
All
of
the
Dhamma.
understanding just
Yes,
unfolds.
yeah.
Because when you go through that type of transformation and experience, the inner nature understand. And when the inner nature understand, there is no words. But when the Dhamma arise or you hear it, they are like very easy to comprehend and you understand it and they fall into place and they are like so beautiful, so wonderful, amazing. It is just the way things are, the way it is. The unfolding of Dhamma is the most beautiful gift that you can ever receive from nature. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, Radio. After that, every moment is Dharma to me. Like, because every day I will sweep the floor of the tree drops and all
Ah,
the leaves and
sadhu.
the flowers, you know. So every day I look at it when I sweep, you know, like the awareness is also like Guan Yin Pusa, Guan Yin
Sadhu,
Pusa. Then
sadhu,
after that, I will see, like, oh, it's like a P, like the parable saying, like, oh, this is the mind, a pile of rubbish. I just sweep, I just sweep it.
Correct,
You know
correct.
what I mean? It's
Then your understanding continue to unfold and become very, very different. That's why when I was in what Padmanachal, I remember many years back, we also had to sweep leaf. When we arrive, we sweep. Then later on, after we had our what they call session and routine, then later on come back to the kuti, we sweep again until nightfall. Then when I was sweeping, we know we have to develop mindfulness and the training to be aware. There was so much joy, that suddenly I realized a very important Dhamma, which is so beautiful. That's why later on I share it with the monks there, I think. I said, when I was sweeping mindfully, the understanding was so different, because there is no aversion at all. Why the leaf sweep already still got leaf? It's like unending, no. And the whole forest is full of dry leaves. You may sweep this area clean. Then after that, as you move to another part, you come back again, the leaf is there. But the understanding was so beautiful, obvious. I just have one understanding, the leaf will fall. There is a reality, understand not? Why you want to fight reality? The leaf will fall, understand not? When you understand the leaf will fall, you don't have problem with it. Basura, understand not? So, like Alicia, you will come to understand, these are all the leaf, the defilements that you have to sweep away. If you let it accumulate, it will actually become a problem, understand not? But these leaf, if you sweep them mindfully and keep them in a proper place, you can use it, yeah? Because you can use it for like making fire or even create what they call fertilizer and all those things. There are useful usage for all this. Then the understanding is very important. When you have the understanding, not only there is no dislike or aversion, you sweep with mindfulness and joy, and you become one with it. Then every movement is zazen, or what we call in the state of tranquility, stillness, and awareness. The oneness, mindfulness, heedfulness, movement is what we call kayanupassana, sati movement. Yeah. And when you develop all this understanding, you may be in a very humid area, but your heart is cool, peaceful, and very conducive for cultivation. Actually, in Thailand, it's quite hot during that time. Yeah. But because of your Dhamma, it cools your heart, and it lets you understand, and there is no problem at all. You walk mindfully, you relax, like everything is in a state of slow movement, in perfect harmony and flow. All of nature is one. Your body is part of nature, your form and mind is part of nature, and everything is in perfect synchrony and harmony. Then there is understanding. This understanding is the key to enable you to really live life with joy, with understanding. That's why true understanding of the Dhamma is wonderful existence. Or in term of the Heart Sutta, is mentioned when you realize true emptiness, existence become wonderful. Zhen Kong Miao Yu, when you have realized true emptiness, life become wonderful, meaningful. So all this are Dhamma training that are possible, and it really transform you as a cultivator. And you develop so much understanding and joy. Then when I shared it, I remember Ajahn Sumedho was there. He was there. He laughed. He saw. Yeah, I say, that's good. Then I think Ajahn Sripanyo over there, and there were quite a lot of monks there. Because these are the things that will dawn upon you, and then you understand. Very good, Sadhu.
Raju, it was so wonderful.
Yeah.
It's like you got a feeling of like you really nothing, you know. It's
yeah,
like
yeah,
really
yeah.
Went
yeah,
into yeah. This entire.
对对对。讲一讲我也不懂得怎样。你用华语啦，use yeah. Yeah. Mandarin better.
就是你整个怎样讲啊，就是你是 part of the nature,
yeah, yeah. You are part of
什么都没有的，就好像什么都没有。
Yeah. Because this form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for us to come. It's dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not what you think. It's not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. All these are sakkayadity, self-delusion. But you must not be so foolish as to think that this is not real. No. This is as real as it can be. It is a human being, understand not, part of your karmic manifestation, the form and mind that manifests, the segmented form and mind that come with your karmic nature. But this is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling onto, grasp onto, and hold onto and say, this is me, this is I. At that part, you will have the wisdom. But that is reality. And then when you know this is not you, not a permanent, unchanging entity, ego, the way of nature, is dependent oriented, that you make use of it, to live life, to do what you want to do with life, to fulfill your vow, to be a blessing to all, to live life to the fullest, to realize the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And this is what life is when you understand. When you don't understand, life is full of misery, suffering. The mundane mind keep on complaining and getting itself entangled with more and more unhappy things. Because when you don't understand, you persist a life situation with negativity. Then you suffer. It's the way you understand life. When you cannot understand life, you will perceive life negativity. And when you perceive life very negatively, you actually create suffering for yourself, affliction for yourself. I always have this understanding. Life is so beautiful, so wonderful, and so meaningful. Why living being make it so ugly, understand? When it is so beautiful and so amazingly wonderful, then why make it ugly? And who make it ugly? It's the deluded mind that is full of avijja, ignorance. When you don't understand the truth, when you don't understand the Dhamma, you cannot accord and flow. You cannot accept the way things are. You cannot see things as they are. You want things your way, which is not allowable under the nature's condition or law of Panchaniyama. Then what happened? When you cannot get what you want, you suffer. That's how. When things don't go your way, you suffer. Well, this is the reality. Like the Buddha said, condition like that, things will be like that. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Condition like that, things will unfold accordingly. It cannot be otherwise. That's why they say, this is suchness. Ta ta ta. This is the way things are, the isness of things. Yeah. So sometimes, like Jay Krishnamurti and all these other great beings who understand, they use the word what is. You cannot fight against what is. What is the reality. What is the truth. So when you understand what is, you understand the Dhamma. And when you understand the Dhamma, there is no conflict. There is no disharmony. Everything flows. Everything is so beautiful, so meaningful, that there is no what they call conflict at all. Then all this duality, you will also understand, it pertains to the conditional. Within the conditional, there is such thing as duality. Duality. There is such thing as difficult people. There is such thing as all the very funny, what they call mind state, that can spring forth from the deluded living being's mind. That's why I say ignorant people do ignorant things. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Violent people do violent things. They are just the way they are. When you can have this understanding, you can be at peace. Then you understand. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will unfold accordingly. Like today, we have a new member joining us. I also don't know her. I think most of her family also don't know her. Sister Devi or what? Desi. Such a nice lady from our station, Seramban. So happened, she told me she heard from the video on the website, and she wants to attend the classes. And she said she came before, but not enough time. But this time, she made effort. And there is Kenya, and there is another time called Jinhao. And Jinhao also, while driving, is it, was in the midst of something. Then just tell her, yeah, there is a class tonight. He is the one who sent out the notice. Then he sent the address to Miss Daisy. Then our sister tell her she will come. And Jinhao said, you come around 7:45. That will be the time where most people will come. So here she is. That's why condition, when it manifests, is really beyond your wildest dream. And things can just unfold and become what it is. That's why we have our sister among us today. But I hope you can fit in. Because our classes, I have to explain a bit. We have Sunday class, which is different again. If you want to learn Dhamma, you join our Sunday class. This one is a Mahayana Sutta. We call it the Lotus Sutta. Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. And this is the sutta on the Bodhisattva way cultivation, which is quite a long sutta. I think it's going to take us a long time. I don't know how long. It's almost a year plus a year. And this sutta is very long. We only at volume 4. And volume 4 is so thick. We are now less than halfway. So whatever it is, when there is causes and conditions, things will happen, things will unfold. And when you understand this, it becomes beautiful. That's why what Alicia going through is this phase, that will allow her to understand a lot of things. Because when that nature open up, you call like your opening, then Bojang described it differently, like a tunnel. That different view. This is what we call the gateway. And then when the gateway is there, all your yin yang energy external, they will melt in. Then it becomes pure energy. Then it activates from inside all of your nadis, your chakra, your whatever. And what they call spiritual cultivation or movement that need to activate the inside. It will happen by itself. Then you become very quiet, very still. Your whole vibration within your anatomy, or we call it the parasympathetic nerve, they all like become very quiet, very still. And you become like in an altered state of consciousness, and you transform. Then because of that transformation, you become very sensitive. The awareness itself become very sensitive, and your awareness is like with the entire existence. That's why you say it's like with the oneness. Like your nature and existence become one. And that state you cannot understand, like what is described in the sutta. You have to go through the cultivation to be in that state, to comprehend the words. Otherwise, it's just their thought trying to interpret and develop the understanding. But nevertheless, this is beautiful. Because not only I can do it, many Kayamitas can do it. And this will give faith to many Kayamitas who really have the affinity to come into contact with the Dhamma. And when they have the faith, it will drive them. And they will transform. That's why all this can become really beautiful. Yeah, at least let me continue.
Yeah, Radio, Radio 的地方是非常的 conducive 我们去 develop 那个 understanding, 因为我每次就是从那种很 tired 的
That is the best condition. When you are very tired, you come in, you just relax, maintain awareness, you will go in. But here, the consciousness is different. The wisdom energy, everything already stored inside the statue, the vibration in this house, this altar, and our collective consciousness, our nature's consciousness, they are very different. Even now, this nature is ever radiating for the cultivator of the way, and it's very strong, very strong. That's why my nature detects that the kinemetal force is very strong because of the way we set it up, and it has moved very fast, and it has become so potent. That's why those who have the faith, the sincerity, and the understanding, they will be able to draw from it and tap into it. Very good, Sadhu.
Yeah, 所以我经常都跟卡米达分享说, Brazil这里是一个非常好的地方。 Physical class, of course, 我们不是贪做要这一些的 experience, 而是我们从中的学习到, 可以什么，就是学习到就是你, 如果能够去到那种境界, 你能够学习到的东西,
不一样的,
那个是比较重要, 而不是我们就说执着那个 experience, 这是我个人认为,
Because when there is condition for you to actually be in that state of mind, that altered or transformed consciousness, or we call it a shift of consciousness, when it happens, the meditator become very different. It transformed them. That's why I remember during the early years when I was going through the cultivation, 86 to 89, that time we were together with a few other, the older kilometers. One of them is the Uncle Ku. We always talk with our teacher. There was one teacher that we also went to the house. Then we came to know when we were there, our mind settled down very fast, or no, very easy to meditate. Like a lot of kayamita told me when they come to my house, it's different. At home, they cannot do it. They find it very difficult. Then what happened was, after what happened, one day when we were discussing, this Uncle Ku, he used the word, this house is like a magic hall. No? The moment you step in, your whole heart become different. No? Then the teacher someone tell us, he said, the two of you, he said, Uncle Ku and me, your Uncle Ku do jhana. He said, your energy very different. He said, one is that jhanic energy. The other one is very tranquil, very still. The awareness based on, the wisdom based on. That's why all very different. And no matter what you do, when you are with the right understanding and condition, you can draw upon their nature's energy. They may be doing other type, like my last guy also said. But more important is your own cultivation. When you cultivate until you transform, then all this transformation happen, then you can draw. You can actually understand. Then later on you will understand. If you are in the midst of cultivator who have better understanding than you, or they have their own special training, you can detect them. You can detect them. And you can draw. Yeah. But I realize one thing that people cannot draw from me is the wisdom energy. But the wisdom energy, you can draw to help you progress. That one is very important. So this wisdom energy, you need to have the four support to help you draw. You must be in a state of relaxed awareness, maintain the awareness, then trust. That every time that energy come to you, you will know one. And you will know how to draw it well, you know how to relax into it, silent everything. Then it will help you move and transform your understanding and the program. Then sometimes you may think you didn't really listen, like what Alicia they all described. That whole session, 1 hour, even after the meditation stop, half an hour. Sunday is 45 minutes. So even after they one stop, they will continue to meditate because the nature know it's not time to come out yet. Continue. So they will go in. Then after that, like he said, you need to listen on, you listen from the heart. It's like something you heard when, but even when you don't listen to the words, you stay at the heart. That one, the vibration will go in. We call it the mind-to-mind transmission. So the mind-to-mind transmission is a different transformation. You have the mind-to-mind seal transmission. You silent and stay at your heart. Then it will go in on. Because what you need is not the words. It's the vibration, the wisdom energy. Then this one, when it go in, without you realizing it, later on, when you come out of here, then suddenly you read any book or you hear any Dhamma that is related to what I share on, you can understand or not. Then amazingly, how come now Dhamma is everywhere? And a lot of things become clear to you. And that is the mind-to-mind transmission. And when you receive that, that is the solid understanding that will come, that will flow through. That's why sometimes no need to know. And the nature will tell you or no. Like, it will make you feel like you must go and meditate already. Like, the best one is like Alicia mentioned, when you are very tired. I realize that is the best. Because when you are very tired, relaxation is very easy. You will go into that state very fast. And this is what cultivation is. And this understanding, if you have not gone through, you cannot share with people. And all this understanding, they are very rare to come by. So when we have a sky meter, the causes and conditions, and especially now with the website, it will help a lot of people. So very good, Alicia. Sadhu.
Yeah,
你 summarize 还有个 2 minutes。
其实真的，刚才我做 puja offering， 为我不到那个 plate 的时候，我也是 click 了一下。
Sadhu, yeah,
真的，我真的觉得这里真的是很 wonderful。
Yeah, it's like a magic hall. Yeah, a lot of people tell me.
Yeah, so radio 很感恩。
Yeah.
I mean, for these past 11 years
here,
and then I learned a lot. I mean, I learned a bit, and I learned a lot of how to say, to deal with the mind, the thought, and everything, especially moment to moment, like just now the Lotus Sutta mentioned, 天天防火，日日防什么？
对。
那我一看那个，我就一直在笑。
算了。
所以感觉。
Because that was what happened to her in the early
years.
Because she, before she came to my class, she was in 16 years of depression, no? Actually, with suicidal thought, everything on medication from the psychiatrists and all those things. So she was suffering. Then immediately after that first night, I think the affinity was there. Then he listened attentively. Then towards the end of that class sharing, it was a Tuesday class here too. He suddenly, I saw there is a radiant glow, a slight smile on the face. Then I know it got affinity. Maybe she is the one that will receive and meant to be. Then after that, he realized that for the first time in her life, you know, after going through all the depression and sickness, affliction, I mean, there is somebody who can understand her problem, what she's going through. But I enumerated the first and second through, and it like fit in, no? Like everything is so familiar, no? Whatever. Then I told her that this is the teaching. the noble truth of suffering, the cause of arising of suffering. So when you know that this is suffering and this is the cause behind, you can manage suffering using this understanding, then your life can change. So for the first time you saw there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a possibility of having the answer to recover from what he is going through. There's an after that they keep on listening, chase after Sihan for the recording everything. Then like what she described, I remember, day and night, you know, she just listened while traveling, yeah, on the train, on the bus, on the plane, or what, they keep on listening. Then like the Avijja Sutta, having Kayamita friend give rise to condition for you to receive the Dhamma. Then second step is to constantly listening to the true Dhamma, then to straighten your view, to bring about understanding, to change your life for the better by following the advice of the Buddha, the avoid all evil, to go and purify them. Then she realized all the thing that causes her suffering is her pettiness, her selfishness, her wrong thoughts. She keep on, at that time, a lot of wrong thoughts. Then she told me, finally, I think after about a year or so, is it better to actually to come out of it? It's not easy. You need to understand all this. Then you can even talk and tell the defilement. No? Is it this wrong thought want to come out already? Is it enough? You have tormented me for 16 years. No? Means the moment you see that thought, is it this is wrong thought, the wrong way of thinking. The last time when she was caught in depression, the cocoon of wrong thought keep on rising and like telling her that the suffering is because of who and who and who that say all this. And then you develop aversion towards them, dislike towards them, the hatred towards them. Then you develop more and more negativity. Oh. Then when she saw that, she decided to abandon them all. Then she started to think of the right thought. Then think of how to help people. Then think of like joining certain organization where he can like be of help to humanity and all that. Then from there, she realized all these right thoughts starts to, the third right effort starts to manifest. Then the fourth right effort, then she become more and more cheerful, more and more happy. That's how she slowly, slowly come out. Then after that, she learned to meditate. Initially, cannot meditate. Suffer so much that depression create gastric and all those things. Until the husband and business friend actually said, last night cannot even join them for dinner and all those things. It was so bad. But he recovered. Then all the mag, slowly, slowly, no need to take. So just by listening to the Dhamma, following attentively, developing the understanding, he transformed, she came out of it. Then she progressed very fast and she became very different. That's why this is the what they call faith that Kayamita can develop out of it. Because no matter what your situation is, I believe it can never be so bad as what she has gone through. That type of torment, 16 years now of suicidal thought, gastric problem, health problem, and wrong thought, cocooning within. So all this is what Dhamma is capable of transforming. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we share merits, then we will end. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirawakantu loka sasana. Eta wata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sampe dewa anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya hidang menya tina hotu sukhita hontu nyateyo hidang menya tina hotu sukhita hontu nyateyo. इदं मे ज्ञातिनां भवतु सुखिता हन्तु ज्ञातयो देवो असत्कालेन साससम्पत्तिहेतो च पितो भवतु लोको च राजा भवतु धार्मिको एमिना पुण्यं कामिना मामे बालासमागमो सत्थं समागमो होतु यावानिवानपतिया साधु साधु साधु. Now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole sharing session. Thank you.